The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 10th, 2006, in Mumbai, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 24.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yan nirmitam karyapi karma sparshanim.
Mayam jano yam guna sarga mohita.
Naveda nistarana yoga manjasa.
Tasmai namaste vilayo dayatmane.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by Him, persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who was the cause of creation and annihilation. Purport. Krishna clearly says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivi hiyeshu gunamai. Mama mayo duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam mitam charantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. All conditioned souls working within the illusory energy of the Lord consider the body to be the self. And thus they continuously wander throughout the universe, taking birth in different species of life and creating more and more problems. Sometimes they become disgusted with the problem, and they seek out a process by which they can get out of this entanglement. Unfortunately, such so-called research workers are unaware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His illusory energy. And thus all of them work only in darkness, never finding a way out. So-called scientists and advanced research scholars are ludicrously trying to find the cause of life. They take no notice of the fact that life is already being produced. What will be their credit if they find out the chemical composition of life? All their chemicals is nothing but transformation of the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:20, the living entity is never created. Najayate mriyate va kadachin. There are five gross material elements and three minor material elements. That's an unusual way. Usually Prabhupada says five gross and three subtle. Now he is saying five gross and three minor.
Which means you could also say five major and three minor. Interesting. And three minor material elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. And there are eternal living entities. The living entity desires a certain type of body. And by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that body is created from material nature, which is nothing but a kind of machine handled by the Supreme Lord. The Lord gives the living entity a particular type of mechanical body, and the living entity must work with it according to the law of fruitive activities. Fruitive activities are described in this verse. Karma parvanim mayam. The living entity is seated on a machine, the body. And according to the order of the Supreme Lord, he operates the machine. This is the secret of transmigration of the soul from one body to another. You want me to do one line at a time? Okay. The living entity thus becomes entangled in fruitive activities in this material world. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, mana sastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entity is struggling very hard against the six senses, which include the mind. In all the activities of creation and annihilation, the living entity is entangled in fruitive activities, which are executed by the illusory energy, Maya. He is exactly like a computer handled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists say that nature acts independently, but they cannot explain what nature is. Nature is nothing but a machine operated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one understands the operator, his problems of life are solved. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhuvanam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabhan. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is what? Very rare. A sane man, therefore, surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus gets out of the clutches of the illusory energy, Maya. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta report of the 5th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges. You want to read in Hindi now? Okay. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam. So, this process of Krishna consciousness is our only hope. How to become free from the illusory energy. The present moment, the illusory energy is holding us very, very tightly in our grip.
Maya ke prabhav mein hum jakde hain, badi kadai se.
But there's a problem which is even worse than that. And that problem is that we are holding her even more tightly than she's holding us. There is one famous story. The disciple said, "Gurudev, Gurudev, Maya will not let go of me." Please save me because Maya will not let go of me. Maya Devi will not let go of me. She will not let me release me from her grip. So the Gurudev, he went to one tree and he grabbed the tree and he said, "Let go of me, let go of me." So we may think that, oh, Maya, it's all Maya's fault, she won't let go of me. But the real fact that it is our fault because we are holding on to Maya very tightly. So don't try to blame someone else for your lack of Krishna consciousness. We have to take responsibility for our own fallen position. And we have to find the ways and means how to get out of this fallen position. For that we require the mercy of the spiritual master. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prishtade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. After one living entity has wandered through countless species of life, if he is very, very fortunate, he gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna and he receives the seed of bhakti within the heart. But that doesn't mean it is automatic. Sometimes people ask me, they say, "Can you please bless me?" They want me to wave some magic wand over their head. But actually, you want something, you have to surrender. Krishna says, "Ye yata mam prabhajante tam taiva bhujamya." I reward you according to your degree of surrender. So if we want blessings of Guru, then we have to do something from our side to qualify. So what is that qualification? We simply have to take the instructions, the orders received from Guru as our life and soul, that's all. Whatever order Guru Maharaj has given, I must faithfully execute that order. So. Do you understand this philosophy? I'm asking you, do you understand this philosophy? Yes? Or no? Yes? Yes? Okay. Yes. We have to understand this philosophy. That the spiritual master, he gives order. And the disciple has a duty to meditate on that order. How much time should he spend meditating on that order? 5 minutes a day? 1 hour a day? What percentage of the time should he spend meditating on the order received from Guru Maharaj? Does anyone have idea what is the percentage of time the disciple should spend meditating on the order received from Guru Maharaj? What is the percentage?
Guru Maharaj ke jo nirdesh diya hai unpe dhyan lagane ke liye kisi ke paas kaise koi kalkulation hai 24 hours,
that's right, 100%. And Prabhupada always, Prabhupada would say, cent percent, same thing, 100%. So, in this way, the disciple becomes very, very dedicated to serving the order received from Guru Maharaj. In other words, the blessings of the spiritual master are manifested in the form of the instructions he gives to us. His mercy is there in the form of the order, and if you obey the order, then you get his blessing at every minute. So we should not approach Guru for blessing unless we are prepared to surrender. There was one pastime of Prabhupada. The devotees were traveling, many disciples, sannyasis, they were traveling with Prabhupada in the first class train in South India. So some of the local people riding on the train, they heard there was a great sadhu in the train. So they were running, they were trying to get into the compartment so they could get some blessing. But Srila Prabhupada's disciples knew they were not serious about bhakti. They just wanted some cheap blessing. Every time one of the disciples would go out of the first class compartment, a few of these people would try to get in. But the sannyasis, they would open the door and close it very quickly so no one could come in. The sannyasis did not want that Prabhupada would have to waste his time with these people. But Prabhupada, you know, he is very merciful. So finally, when the door opened, the sannyasi opened the door, then the man caught Prabhupada's attention. And Prabhupada said, "Let them come in." So the man, one man, he said, "Oh Swamiji, I have a problem with my knee." He wanted some blessing to cure his knee ache. So this way they were just completely mundane platform. So Srila Prabhupada said, "I can give you, this is the blessing I can give you." And he pointed to all of his sannyasi disciples. He said, "I can make you like these boys." And they got very scared that this sannyasi had some magic power and he would hypnotize them and turn them into sannyasis. So they immediately got out of the car, out of the compartment as quickly as possible. So in this way, we have to understand, when we approach Guru, we must be prepared to surrender to him.
हमें समझना चाहिए कि अगर हम गुरुजी के पास जाते हैं तो हमें समर्पण होना बड़ा आवश्यक है.
This is how we will get his true blessing. And this is how we will become delivered from this material existence. This material existence is not fun. Sometimes we think it's fun. But you know what? It's not. We sometimes foolishly think it is, that's all. This is called the influence of Maya. Maya Sukaya.
Maya Sukaya.
Illusory happiness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that one should not be disturbed by happiness or distress. To not be disturbed by distress, that makes sense. But when I was a new devotee, I couldn't figure out, what does this mean, do not be disturbed by happiness? Happiness is very nice. Who would be disturbed by happiness? To tell someone, don't be disturbed by happiness, you say, stop being happy. Krishna is saying, stop being happy. On the one hand, Prabhupada says, chant and be happy. And Krishna is saying, don't be happy. So what is that? Don't be disturbed by happiness. Don't be... So what does that mean? This is talking about material happiness. If you get excited when there is some material happiness, then what will happen to you? Material happiness is only temporary. So if you get excited when there is material happiness, as soon as that happiness goes away, then you will become very unhappy. So therefore you should not be disturbed by material happiness. Don't get all excited that there's some material happiness now. You have to be very, very detached. Prabhupada was detached even from spiritual happiness. There is another pastime of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, even when there was a great success in preaching, he was detached. Srila Prabhupada had struggled. He had the manuscript for Bhagavad Gita as it is. But no publisher. Now we have big marathon, Bhagavad Gita. We take it for granted. Yeah, we have the books, now we have to distribute them. In the early days of ISKCON, Bhagavad Gita as it is was just a manuscript sitting in a trunk.
And
there was no money to print Bhagavad Gita. They had a little storefront, and the boys would give them 1/4, which is 25 cents. 25 cents is, that's 1/4 of a dollar. So I guess in current rupees, that would be, they would give 10 rupees. donation. In America, 10 rupees won't buy you anything. You can't get anything for 10 rupees. So that's what they would give. 25 cents. So there was no money for printing. So they had to find a publisher who wanted to publish it for their own publishing business. But they could not do so. Prabhupada would give to one disciple. He would try to find a publisher. He would fail. Then Prabhupada would give to another disciple and he would try and he would fail. There was one friend of the temple, he was a famous poet, Allen Ginsberg. He had so many contacts in the publishing world, but none of them were interested in the manuscript. So what to do? Finally, Prabhupada gave the manuscript to Ramananda. Said, now you find a publisher for this manuscript. So Ramananda, he thought, it is hopeless. What can be done? I must try, but how I will be successful? At that time, one commercial recording company had recorded Prabhupada. There was a company called The Happening Label. The Happening Label. And they had recorded Prabhupada. You know that famous Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That famous one. They had made a record album with it. And it was selling actually. Many people bought it by mail order. It wasn't a huge amount of money, but they were selling one here, one there. So one day an order for the record came from somebody who was gave the return address as Macmillan Publishing Company. The return address on the order, return address, you know.
Yes,
you please send this record to Macmillan so-and-so at Macmillan Publishing Company. Macmillan is one of the major publishers in New York City. So Brahmananda brought this to Prabhupada's attention. Look, Srila Prabhupada, somebody from Macmillan Publishing Company is ordering your record. So Srila Prabhupada was very intelligent. He said, do not mail him that record. Personally deliver it to him. And tell him that you have a Swami who has a Bhagavad Gita manuscript that he wants to publish. So Brahmananda put on his coat and tie and pants. And he went to Macmillan Company with the record to find this man who ordered the record. And Papa, he said, Prabhupada, should I take the manuscript with me? Prabhupada said, no, just tell him you have a Swami who has the manuscript. So Prabhupada went there, he found the gentleman. But he did not work in the publishing department. He was simply some low-level accountant, that's all. So Brahmananda was thinking, well, what's the use? How are we ever going to get Prabhupada's manuscript published? But then all of a sudden the door opened. And one man walked in. And it was somebody from the department that publishes spiritual literature. So Brahmananda, he shook his hand. He said, I have an Indian Swami who has a Bhagavad Gita he wants to publish. So the gentleman, he looked at Brahmananda. He said, really? You have an Indian Swami with a Bhagavad Gita manuscript that he wants to publish? We will publish it. No, he had not even seen the manuscript. Normally you have to submit the manuscript, they read the manuscript, see if they like it or not. Without even seeing the manuscript, he said, yes, we will publish the manuscript. They had a spiritual literature department. They had the Quran, they had, you know, so many different religious traditions, but they didn't have anything. They had no Bhagavad Gita, and they were looking, where is the Bhagavad Gita? They had been looking for a Bhagavad Gita manuscript. So Brahmananda, he was so happy. He practically was floating all the way back down to 26 Second Avenue. He was so excited. Oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they're going to publish a Bhagavad Gita. He'd be so excited. But Prabhupada was very, very detached. As if he already knew it was going to happen. So in this way, even when there was some big success, Prabhupada didn't just start jumping up and down like a little child. Prabhupada simply saw everything is going on by the perfect arrangement of Sri Krishna. So even when there is great spiritual happiness, the pure devotee remains equipoised. What to speak of any rubbish material happiness, which does not even touch his heart. So in this way, by studying the characteristics of the greatest Vaishnava in history, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, then we can learn something. How we can increase our own Krishna consciousness. We have to always be thinking, how can I increase my Krishna consciousness? Simply to be a well-respected devotee at the temple, that is not sufficient. If we are going to progress all the way to Krishna Prema, then we must clean all of those deep-seated anarthas out of the heart. Some of them are easy to find and uproot. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. We can easily recognize these. And according to our conditioning, we can more or less easily stop doing them. Some of them. Depends on the individual. Some people have a hard time giving up some of those. If one was raised in a very sattvic situation, then it's not difficult to give these up. Because you weren't doing them anyway. My point is this though, that there are other anarthas which are more difficult to spot, to find. Such as pride. Pride. Envy. See, these things are more difficult to find. More difficult to uproot. But if we actually want to achieve that Krishna prema, then even the most subtle and difficult to locate an artha. Must be cleansed from the heart. So we should never think, well, I've got it together now, I'm Krishna conscious. I'm preaching well, I'm selling the books. I'm making devotees, I'm doing my service well. Now I am fixed in Krishna consciousness. Should never fall into this trap of known as complacency. We should always feel that I am desperately in need of being rectified from the many, many faults which are infecting my consciousness. The more one advances in Krishna consciousness, do you feel more advanced or do you feel yourself more lowly? Actually, it's both. You may find that hard to understand. But one does experience, tangibly experiences one's spiritual advancement. The more you advance, you feel how you're advancing. That's a bit. But one of the symptoms of that advancement is that you, the more you advance, the more you feel yourself very lowly. What is the proof of this? The proof is that the Uttama Adhikari devotee, he considers himself to be the most abominable demon. And he considers all other living beings. Throughout this entire material existence, to be pure devotees. That is his humble vision. That every single living entity throughout the totality of existence is a pure devotee of Krishna. Except for me, who am the most abominable, fallen, wretched demon. We should not try to artificially imitate It's like one disciple, he wrote Prabhupada a letter. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. You know what Prabhupada's response was? You're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So we should not try to use any sort of conception to make ourselves the center of the universe. We should simply see that Krishna is the center of everything. So let me do everything for His pleasure. Let me do everything for His satisfaction. So that in this way I can become completely liberated from all forms of lust, anger, greed, and selfishness. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Thank you, Prabhuji. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned about material energy being like a machine.
The material nature is like a machine, yes.
The idea for the material nature to be like a machine. And that would imply that it hasn't got its own free will, or the machine means it doesn't operate, it hasn't got its own free will. It would imply that. It would indicate that. Whereas, in the Brahma Samhita verse, it says, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So we have to understand, rightly, that this machine, being though functioning as a machine, and many of its methodologies of working are arranged, yet the operator is always conducting it.
The operator is what?
Durga Devi conducts herself. The machine conducts itself. It would mean that the material energy is like a machine.
Yeah, machines do run on their own, but they have to be started by the operator. Just like you can start the ignition of your automobile and the engine will run just sitting there. But it cannot start itself. You have to start it. Machine at least requires someone to start it running.
I wanted to ask whether when I am being pushed around and conducted by this material energy, as it's happening minute to minute and moment to day to day, is Krishna in the picture or is Durga Devi conducting it as guided by the Lord initially?
Everything is going on under the order of Krishna, even the material nature is going on under Krishna's order. The material nature is an arrangement of Krishna. Because you did not want to surrender to Him, He fulfilled your desire for independence. Giving it to you in such a way that you would want to eventually come back and be His servant again. So, in this sense, everything that happens to us within this material existence is the mercy of Krishna. Everything. Krishna is giving unlimited mercy to every living entity throughout the totality of existence at every second.
Krishna, bina kisi rok tok ke anant kripa dete hain anant jeevon ko anant kaal se.
He simply wants everyone to come back to him, that's all. There's no such thing as misfortune. Misfortune is a illusory state of mind. Krishna is bestowing unlimited good fortune on every single living entity at every single second.
Krishna anant koti kripa bhej rahe hain anant koti jeevon ke upar prati kshan.
But in ignorance they are misperceiving.
Parantu ajnane karan wo log usko pakad nahi pa rahe us kripa ko.
Therefore we have to see through the eyes of shastra.
Isliye hame shastra ki drishti se sab kuch darshan karna hai.
So that we will understand things as they are and we can act accordingly.
Isliye hum samajh sakte hain हर चीज को कई दृष्टिकोण में और उस प्रतिनिधि रूप कार्यरत भी हो सकते हैं.
Any further question?
और प्रश्न.
हरे कृष्णा. ये मानसिक संबंधी प्रश्न है कि आई एम न्यू डिवोटी, नया भक्त हूँ मैं. जैसा माला शुरू करते हैं जपना, तो माला करते करते मन कभी कभी कलकला करता है, तो उसको रोकने की कोशिश करते हैं ना, तो और भागने की कोशिश करता है.
He says, I am a new devotee. And he's not yet joined actually. He's a new devotee. And
not yet what?
He has not yet joined the temple.
Oh, okay.
He says, I am a new devotee. And when I chant my rounds, initially my mind goes okay, but then it flies off here and there. Again, I try to bring my mind under control, but it doesn't come under control. So, what
happens? Yeah. What time of the day do you chant your japa?
Din ke kis samay aap apna japa karte hain?
Subah. Morning.
Before sunrise?
Suraj udne se pehle karte hain? Kis samay karte hain?
Subah.
What?
Almost at that time only, when the sun rises.
What time do you start your japa? What time?
Samay kya hai? Samay. Japa shuru karne ka samay kya hai aapka? 6:30.
You try starting at 4:30. When it's still dark. That's during the Brahma. See, if you wait, 6:30 means the sun is already coming up by then. When the sun comes up in the morning, then Rajagun comes in. It becomes much more difficult to keep the mind focused on japa once the sun comes up. So if you can rise at 4 o'clock in the morning, take your bath, put on your tilak, your dhoti kurta, and then between 4:30 and 6:30 you chant your japa mala. And then after you finish your mala, if you're sleepy because you got up very early, you can take a nap before you go to the office.
Out of mind control,
this is it. Okay, today I understood the message. My mind goes smooth. I am following your order. Getting up at 4, but after 2-3 days, my mind goes again and I don't follow.
Then you send me an email.
Aap Maharaj ko ek email bhejiye aur Maharaj aapka help desk pe.
I guarantee you, if you start chanting japa during Brahma Muhurta, your mind will become so peaceful and serene, you'll just go, wow, this is amazing. You'll get so much ruchi, nama ruchi during Brahma Muhurta. You will start to fall in love with the name more and more and more and more. But if your mind is still causing you problem, then we have a formula for you. This formula is coming from our Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He is saying, if you have difficulty with your mind, then every morning you beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And in evening time, you leave the shoes on the shoe rack. This time you go to the broom closet. And you take the thickest, heaviest broom. Of course, in India you have just a little brush broom, don't you? In America we have these thick wood handles. Like stick. Wooden pole. To beat yourself with an Indian broom, that little brush thing, you know. That's not so severe, but you take an American broom and beat yourself with that, it's very heavy. So you have to go purchase an American broom. Now you don't beat your mind with the Indian broom. You must get one of the Western style brooms. Thick handle. And beat your mind with that. Of course, everyone is finding it humorous. So what is the actual meaning of beating the mind with broom and shoes? There is a serious message. And that is, you have to tell yourself, you have to tell the mind what a rascal it is for not being absorbed in Nam Ruchi. When the mind deviates from the name, then you have to tell the mind, what are you doing, you stupid mind? You get back on the name. Just like the mother trains the child, you must become like the mother of your own mind and train that naughty little child mind how to behave properly. When japa time comes, we have no other business. Simply japa. Sometimes we see when devotees chant japa, they like to talk with each other also. That is not good. That is called jabber japa. You see, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, how did so-and-so do, how's so-and-so doing today? Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, like that. You see, when you chant japa, it is intense meditation. You should dive very, 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 very deeply into the sound vibration of the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You must go deeper with each recitation. You must go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the name. Do not remain skimming the surface of the ocean of Krishna's name. You must become an expert deep sea diver.
आपको एक लक्ष्य कुंडी लगाने वाला तैराक बनना है, जो अंदर कुंडी लगाता है समुद्र के अंदर.
You must go very, very deeply into nama ruchi. Don't try to squeeze some pleasure out of the name. Try to chant the name in such a way that you give pleasure to Krishna. Sometimes people write me, my students on my e-course write me, they say, I'm trying to chant but I'm not getting any taste from the name. What am I doing wrong?
मेरे विद्यार्थी e-course के विद्यार्थी कभी-कभी मुझे लिखते हैं कि मैं नाम तो जप करने का सोचता हूँ, प्रयास करता हूँ, पर स्वाद ही नहीं मिलता हूँ, मिलता है क्या कष्ट है मेरे
तरफ. I explained to them the problem is you want to get taste from the name.
मैं बोलता हूँ कष्ट क्या है कि तुम चाहते हो नाम भी करने से तुम्हें कुछ स्वाद मिले.
Instead of trying to think how I can get taste,
अगर आप सोचो कि मैं कैसे स्वाद लूँ,
we should think how can I give taste to Krishna. How can I please Krishna by the way I chant his name? Just like when if a boy is singing a love song to a girl, he wants to sing the love song in such a way that she is pleased. He wants to satisfy his beloved. So in this way the devotee, he wants to chant in such a way that Krishna is greatly pleased. If you think, always think of how can I chant in such a way that Krishna will relish hearing me chant his name.
आपको सोचना है कैसे कृष्ण खूब आनंदित हो जाएंगे सुनने के द्वारा, कैसे मैं उनके नाम को जप कर रहा
हूँ. You're always thinking of how can I please Krishna by the way that I chant his name.
हमेशा यही सोचना है कैसे मैं कृष्ण को सुखी बना दूँ उस तरीके से, जिस प्रकार से मैं नाम जप करूँ.
Your mind will be completely absorbed.
पूर्ण रूप से आपका मन तल्लीन हो जाएगा इसके अंदर.
Krishna can hear you when you chant.
कृष्ण सुनते हैं आपको जब आप जपा करते हैं.
So the way some of us chant, I think Krishna is going like this. Mishnishnanam, Mishnishnanam, Mishnishnanam. But if we actually chant very nicely, with sincere feelings of love, like a child crying for the mother, then Krishna will take great notice. Just see how he is chanting my name. Any other question?
He's conducting an e-course, as he mentioned. And some 10,000 to 20,000 persons worldwide are receiving everyday emails. I would like to tell the case of my Anash brother Gopalakrishna, to whom for about 11 years I have been giving different inputs of our philosophy and guidelines on Krishna Bhakti, to make him take it up. He is a media manager in the company. Now, Bahardav Rathen, in only 5 months of Maharaja's course, he is chanting and following all the principles, and his wife also has taken it up.
Any other question? Couldn't understand what was said.
He said, my brother, I was trying to preach to
you. Oh, your brother is becoming Krishna conscious. Oh, in Dubai. Ah, very good.
Yes.
Not the Mataji.
She says, you have recommended that chanting time best is 4:30, but I am very busy at 4:30. I have to dress my children, I have to pack for their breakfast for the school and everything. How can I chant?
Well, it depends. If you can get up at 2:30 and chant, you get your rounds on before 4:30. That's the best thing. I guarantee you, once the sun comes up, it's much harder to chant. You can actually chant faster also in the early morning hours because there's nothing to distract you. You just go you can just go sailing through it with great focus. The earlier the better. I know that's what I do. I've oftentimes had a program to get up at 2:30 to do my rounds so that I can do other things. I also had things to do like writing my thought for the day and internet. So I would write after Mangalarti and then do japa before Mangalarti. Any other questions?
Maharaj,
many
devotees have got morning services in the morning.
Yeah.
How can they chant the japa?
He has morning service. He must know when he should do his rounds.
Yes, like during japa time, he has got some services in the temple.
Yeah.
So how should he manage his rounds?
Manage what?
His rounds. By the morning, he has got time to chant his rounds.
How should he manage his japa?
Yes.
Well, so during japa period, you have service? If I were you, I would just get up at, 2:30 in the morning. I was a brahmachari. Myself and one other brahmachari, we would get up every morning at 10 minutes until 2. And we would chant all of our rounds before Mangalarti. That's what I would do if I were you. Brahmachari means you have a lot of flexibility. Brahmachari means you have a lot of flexibility in your daily activities. I recommend you get all your rounds done before Mangalarti. And then you can take some nap later in the day to make up your sleep. Instead of chanting your japa in the middle of the day, you take a little nap in the middle of the day and do your rounds in the early morning hours. Another question?
Because now I am a grihastha, I am a karmi, and I try to chant my rounds in the morning. Then my family sits, my daughter sits, then she sleeps, So I have to tell her, you do properly.
He chants in the early morning, yeah. And what happens?
Then his daughter also sits. His daughter.
The and daughter chants with you?
Then she reads her books in the morning, her school book. Then while reading the school book, she will sleep.
Yeah.
I have to tell her, you get up, you have to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
Then the wife is there, she also does some mistake, I have to tell her all the time. Then 6 o'clock he goes for Mangala Arati, then he does Narsingh Arati, Tulsi Arati. So he says, I'm doing this Namaprats, doing this.
Oh, I see. So during your japa period, you're having to manage your daughter's studies, you know. And then you have to just get up and before they get up, that's all. I would try the 2:30 program if I were you. If you're having, I mean, what time do they do all this? What time is your daughter studying? What time of the day? What hour does she start studying? What time is your daughter studying?
5 o'clock she starts her studies.
5 o'clock. So get all your rounds done before 5, that's all. If it takes you 2 hours to do your rounds, then get up, then take shower at 2:30 and chant from 3 till 5. So what time do you begin your driving work?
9 o'clock.
So what time is your daughter through with her studies?
9 o'clock she goes to school.
Nice. Well, you have to do what's practical for you. I don't want you to fall asleep at the wheel and have an accident. So do you have a hard time falling asleep, or you can take rest whenever you want to? You have insomnia? So you can always, if you can, what I would do is I would get my rounds done early and then I would take a nap before I start my driving. But you know, you have to work out, you have to be practical, but I'm just saying everyone should make the endeavor to get their rounds done before the sunrise as far as possible every day, because that's how you'll, you know, without being distracted, because that's how you're going to make rapid advancement. You have to balance it with your family duties and your occupational duties, obviously, but we should keep pushing in the direction of getting the rounds done during Brahma Muhurta. Okay then, so it's not getting a little late.
One more question?
Okay.
Yeah, you said you have to do your japa in the morning only. But you told that Mataji to get on at 2:30 in the morning. If you're getting up at 2:30 in the morning, they have to come to Mangala, he stays Shanti Nagar, right in the corner of the station. All the baby comes to the Mangala Arati in the morning, doing our japa only. And after going home, we have to prepare for our children and our family. And then we go out to work. How can we have a nap?
So every situation has to be judged according to its particular. That's a fact. But the principle is you should strive for the ideal standard of clear, focused, early morning japa. That's the point. If you have that desire for clear, focused, early morning japa, then Krishna can make all arrangements with your material circumstance to facilitate it.
अगर आपकी इच्छा है मन में कि मेरा जपा शुद्ध पूरा हो जाए तो कृष्ण पूर्ण आपको व्यवस्था देंगे और आपका इच्छा पूरी हो जाएगी.
Just like when I first became grihastha, now I am vanaprastha. I gave up grihastha life to become vanaprastha. Now my wife Vishnupriya, we simply travel and preach all over the world. But formerly I was grihastha and I had job. And the first job I got, the work hours were from 11 at night till 8 a.m. in the morning.
अभी मैं माने प्रश्न हूँ, मेरी धर्म पत्नी हमारे साथ हैं कृष्णप्रिया माता जी. तो मेरा जब नौकरी लगी मेरी शुरुआत में, तो मेरा नौकरी का समय था रात 11 से लेकर सुबह 4 बजे तक.
I was a brahmachari for 14 years and I was very strictly always going to mangal arti every day.
मैं 14 साल तक ब्रह्मचारी रहा हूँ और 14 साल ब्रह्मचारी जीवन में मैं कड़ाई से हर दिन मंगल आरती किया हूँ.
But now I was grihastha and I had job from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. So how could I possibly go to Mangal Arti? But my desire was very strong. Somehow I must go to Mangal Arti. Krishna, help me. So you know what happened? When I began the job, I said, well, you know, it's not an easy working this night shift, so we'll give you an hour for lunch. Normally the workers only get a half hour lunch break. We will give you 1 hour. And you can take it whenever you want. So the temple was 15 minutes away from the office. And Mangal Arti is half an hour program. So there was my Mangal Arti. I would start my lunch break at 4:15. I would drive and pick up Mataji in the automobile from the apartment. I would go and pick up Vishnupriya Mataji and take her to the temple. I would attend the Mangal Arti. And then I would drive back to work and I'd be there in time within 1 hour. The point is, if your desire is very strong to have pure sadhana, then Krishna arranged everything to facilitate you. You simply must have very strong desire to become a pure devotee of Krishna. The details, they can be, there are so many individual circumstances, I understand them. But there's no replacement for early morning japa. That's a fact. So, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavatam Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.